Chapter 6 Saturday, 10:28 a.m. Lucy settled Melissa Yeager into a kitchen chair. Without the red blotches covering her cheeks and the runny nose, she would have been a beautiful woman. She had long blonde hair, pulled back into a ponytail that emphasized high, cavernous cheekbones, perfect teeth, a wide mouth, and a slender patrician neck. "Would it be all right if I made tea?" Lucy asked. A panacea for grieving mothers. The cupboard beside the oven. The mother stirred herself to answer. "What's your name again?" She seemed calmer, more focused now that it was just the two of them. Had the drama queen act been a performance put on for the men outside? For the husband? Rather, ex-husband? The press? Or the cops? Maybe all of the above. In Lucy's experience, shock and fear brought out the worst in people, including the need some people had to center the drama on themselves rather than the true victims. She busied herself microwaving two cups of herbal tea while examining the kitchen for clues to its occupants. Even though Lucy and her family had moved here only 3 months ago, still had boxes to unpack, their kitchen had already become the center of their universe. A large calendar filled with everyone's schedule hung on the wall. Megan's soccer cleats and shin pads lay on the floor beside the back door, sharing space with Lucy's running shoes. Nick's bike helmet hung on the doorknob. Lopsided pottery coffee mugs proclaiming "Greatest Mom in the World" and "World's Best Dad" were displayed with pride on the windowsill above the sink, along with a plaster cast of Megan's preschool handprints. Here, in the Yeager kitchen, there existed none of the detritus of everyday life. Instead, it was cold, sterile, all chrome and black, relieved only by white, semi-gloss trim and sandstone tile on the floors. No photos except a framed black-and-white print of the Eiffel Tower. There was a desk, but instead of overflowing with bills and coupons and school notices like Lucy's, it contained only a memo pad, blank, a black enameled pen in a holder, and the phone. "Were there any messages?" Lucy asked as she delivered the tea to the lacquered black pub-height table perfectly aligned in the center of the room. Two chairs only. Melissa shook her head. A few wisps had escaped her ponytail holder and were plastered against her cheeks. The police took the answering machine, but there was nothing on it. "If anyone wants me, they call my cell." The tea's cinnamon-laden aroma filled the room. The only signs of life, except for the two women. A plant would help, Lucy thought. Even a dead plant. A sign that someone human, fallible, lived here. "We'll need the cell phone. And access to your computer, BlackBerry, iPad, anything like that." "That's what the state police said. They took everything. Have someone monitoring the phones." She stared down into her mug. "I hate him for this. This is all his fault."
"Who?"
"Him. Gerald. Everything was fine until he decided we weren't good enough anymore. Until he left."
"How long ago was that?"
10 months. Bastard packed his bags and walked out, and that was that. That must have been tough on Ashley."
"How'd she take it?"
Melissa frowned as if she'd forgotten about her daughter. "She was fine until this summer. This summer it was like she was having her own midlife crisis."
"When did you first notice something was wrong?"
"Just before school ended. I took her shopping for a bathing suit. God, that was a fiasco." She looked past Lucy, rolling her eyes and making a clicking sound with her tongue that reminded Lucy of Megan and her 12-year-old friends. "Ashley developed early. She's had her period for 2 years now, and she's already got twice the figure I do. Not to mention all that baby fat." Melissa glanced down at her own perfect size 2 and straightened her posture, pulling her robe around her, re-knotting the ties with elegant grace.
Good thing she never wanted to follow in my footsteps. She never would have made it.
Your footsteps?
I was a model. Put Gerald through veterinarian school. Earned enough to buy this. She gestured to the house. And to start my own agency after we moved here. I know, Pittsburgh is nothing compared to New York, but Gerald had a once-in-a-lifetime job offer from the Pittsburgh Zoo.
He works at the zoo?
He's in charge of their herpetology department.
Reptiles, she added when Lucy gave her a questioning look.
He was responsible for the new snake house. It won some kind of big prize. Way he acted, you think it was the Oscar or something.
Great. More snakes.
Lucy changed the subject. You had no idea Ashley was missing until the phone call? Melissa's frown barely made a dent in her forehead.
Botox?
Or did nothing penetrate her polished facade? I fell asleep reading. She told me she'd be home by midnight. It's not a school night, so... She shrugged one shoulder. The phone woke me. At first there was silence, just a man breathing. I almost hung up, but then he said he had Ashley, and I ran to her room and her bed hadn't been slept in. Melissa's face was still blank, but her words sped up, in danger of derailing.
He used Ashley's name?
No. No, he just said, "We have what you want." But Ashley was gone. He had to be talking about her. He hung up before I could say anything.
No instructions? No demands for money?
Nothing. Just laughed and hung up. I searched the house. Ashley was gone. I called the Martins. She was supposed to be babysitting for them. Put it on the calendar a week ago. But they said they'd never asked her. She swiveled in her chair, staring at the back door as if she expected Ashley to walk in. Someone took my baby. Why? Why would anyone do that to me? Still no tears. Melissa turned back to Lucy as if she expected Lucy to have the answers she needed. Lucy had no answers. Just more questions. Things weren't adding up. Maybe you can show me Ashley's room and tell me more about her. I'd like to get to know her better. Melissa tugged her belt even tighter and stood. Not much to tell. She's like any kid. Goes to school, comes home, goes to her room, and goes to bed. A little spacey at times, but you know how girls her age are. Lucy followed her from the kitchen to the stairs leading to the second floor. Melissa's description didn't sound like any normal 14-year-old girl she knew. It sounded like a kid headed for trouble, with parents too caught up in their own concerns to care. Ashley's room confirmed her suspicions. It was a dull room, painted eggshell white with a beige rug. No individuality expressed here. Instead, there were coordinating sheets, comforter, pillow shams, and drapes. The only artwork was a framed reproduction of Monet's water lilies that matched the bedspread. No stuffed animals. No cosmos poking out from under the mattress. No earrings and underwear littering the dresser top. No rock stars taped to the wall, wearing lipstick kisses. Sterile. Like a hotel room. A room where no one was ever coming home.
Any luck? Lucy asked Taylor, who was packaging Ashley's computer.
He'd sealed the tower in a plastic evidence bag, labeled it, and was photographing it from all angles to document the chain of custody.
I won't know until I get it back to the lab, he said.
But there was something funky.
What?
When I got here, the computer was on, but the monitor was blank except for a prompt.
You lost me.
It's the kind of screen you'd see if the hard drive has been erased.
How long would that take, a computer that size?
He shrugged.
It depends on how thorough you were. Reformatting the hard drive, minutes. Scrubbing it clean, several hours.
Anticipation tickled Lucy's nerve endings, an itch she couldn't scratch. This wasn't a typical teenage angst runaway. This was someone who had meticulously covered her tracks. Lucy glanced around the room again. It hadn't just been stripped of personality. It had been stripped of anything that could help her find Ashley. And it hadn't happened overnight. Did Ashley erase the hard drive herself? Because Melissa Yeager stood in the doorway, listening, Lucy didn't add the question foremost in her mind. Or had someone else deleted the information for Ashley? I won't know until I analyze it. How long? Don't know, Taylor exhaled the word, his initial optimism evaporating faster than helium from a balloon. It was clear the admission cost him. It depends if I can extract anything. If there's anything left to extract. What about her cell phone and other electronics? Her cell phone is gone, but I'm working with the provider to get a list of calls and text messages. If anyone turns it on, we'll have the GPS tracking. The Stadies have got Mom's cell and laptop. Dad gave us consent for his, but I'm working on search warrants anyway. Focus on Ashley's. Did she have anything else? Lucy asked Melissa Yeager. The mom hovered still outside the room, as if some invisible barrier blocked her entrance. An iPad? Another computer? Laptop? Melissa shook her head. No, just the damn phone. Like it was surgically implanted. Texted on it day and night. Sometimes I'd come in to check on her at night and she'd be typing away. Exactly why Lucy refused to give Megan texting privileges to anyone but her and Nick. Technology was great until predators learned how to manipulate it for their own purposes. That familiar itch curled her fingers again. Was that what she was dealing with here? A predator? A man like Pastor Walter, only slicker, sleeker? Able to convince his prey to cover her tracks? Or smart enough to cover them for her? She returned to stand in the doorway with the mom, mirroring her anxious posture. Do you have anyone to stay with you? Someone you feel safe with? Melissa shook her head. So you're not seeing anyone? Lucy tried again. No, not... Melissa broke off, staring at Lucy. What are you asking? Lucy stared back, unabashed. I need to know about the people in Ashley's life. Where does your boyfriend live? Melissa made an exasperated noise without parting her lips. He's not... I don't even know what you'd call him. An old friend. We had a thing once, ages ago. It was only natural after Gerald betrayed me. What's his name? Lucy asked. John. John Tardif. The photographer. He lives in Manhattan. Did Ashley know John? A nod from Melissa, but she also broke eye contact, looked down at the floor, her fingers picking at the knot on her robe. Did she like him? Melissa gave a shrug and slouched. Totally out of character for the perfect postured fashion model image she portrayed earlier. No. Ashley didn't like John. He came to visit when she was at Gerald's, or we'd see each other when I was in the city. Lucy stood aside as Taylor gathered up Ashley's computer and his equipment and left. There was more going on here, something she couldn't quantify. Why didn't Ashley like John Tardif? Gerald Yeager and Isaac Walden joined them. Gerald stiffened at the mention of Tardif, but his expression remained as blank as ever. Ashley hated him, he spat the words. The pervert used to take naked pictures of her when she was young. He's an artist, Melissa protested. I was naked in them as well. That never bothered you. Tardif has a history of molesting young girls? No, of course not. Melissa stood up straight again, challenging her ex. Not that I could ever prove, Gerald said. Isaac and Lucy exchanged a glance. Isaac jotted a few words in his notebook, and Lucy knew he'd run down the truth. If it was true... If Tardif had a thing for young girls, then Melissa was living every mother's worst nightmare. The thing you never, ever thought about, for fear that if you did, even for a second, you might be inviting the monster into your home. Maybe that's what Melissa was hiding, she'd let the monster waltz right in and steal her only child.
"What's missing?" Lucy asked the parents, deciding to table further discussion of Tardif until she had more facts. What could Ashley have taken with her?
Melissa's eyes darted around the room.
Lucy followed her glance and spotted something shiny on one wall, a torn triangle of transparent tape.
"Did something used to hang here?"
Melissa nodded, one hand covering her mouth as if to keep from screaming. Gerald answered for her.
"What happened to her drawings?"
Ashley was a fantastic artist, loved to sketch and paint. He pushed past Melissa and stalked around the room.
"Where are they?"
She kept shaking her head, small little shakes. Watching her made Lucy dizzy.
I don't know.
The word sounded frayed, torn. After she got back from your place that one time, the next day, they were all gone. I thought she had grown tired of them, threw them out.
Threw them out?
Ashley would never do that.
Did you take them from her? Was that your way of punishing her for coming to me when she ran away?
You bitch. You had no right.
Hold on, hold on.
Lucy stepped between the two, restraining her impulse to bash their heads together and send them both into time out.
Ashley ran away? When?
Last month. We had a fight, and I woke the next morning and she was missing.
She wasn't missing. She came to my place, Gerald interjected.
And she left you a note. Don't overdramatize.
Dramatize? My daughter is missing, gone Lord only knows where. She could be dead, and you accuse me of...
Calm down, everyone. No one's found a note this time, right? No messages? Both parents shook their heads.
Okay. Walk me through what's missing.
Lucy opened the closet door. It was like falling into a fashion model's travel trunk. Lining the shelf stood boxes upon boxes of designer shoes and purses, each labeled with color and style. The hangers were brimming over with colorful gowns, lovingly protected in clear plastic garment bags with attached photos of Melissa strutting her stuff on the runway. On the back of the door hung a silk cloth with small pockets sewn into it, each bulging with a different piece of jewelry.
"Those aren't Ashley's," Melissa said. "I ran out of room in my closet, and since Ashley refused to hang up her clothes anyway, I started using hers."
Lucy blinked. 14-year-old girl, already angsting over her looks, being forced to live with fashion Barbie mom's runway successes. Sounded like cruel and unusual punishment. Then she looked again. Several of the outfits were out of place, not in the bags labeled with their photos. Did Ashley ever wear these?
She could maybe put them on, but they wouldn't fit her properly, not with her figure.
The mother made it sound as if Ashley were a candidate for stomach stapling. How about the shoes? A thin layer of dust covered the shoe boxes, but several of the jewelry pockets were empty.
Never. I'm a 6. Ashley wears an 8 already.
Lucy pushed hard against the closet door to latch it shut, taking the opportunity to master her annoyance before turning around to face the parents once more. Where are Ashley's clothes? All summer she's insisted on wearing the same clothes over and over. Black jeans, 2 sizes too large, a baggy black sweatshirt, and a tank top under it. And those ugly, clunky shoes you bought her.
Dansko. They're called Dansko, Gerald put in.
Whatever. She did her own laundry, so I told her as long as her clothes were clean, I didn't care what she wore. You have to pick your battles, right? Those are gone? Didn't she have anything else? Lucy began to open the dresser drawers. Except for the ones on top, which were filled with underwear and socks, mixed together and not folded, she was relieved to see, so Ashley wasn't a space mutant neat freak after all, the rest were empty.
She took some things over to Goodwill a few weeks ago. Said they didn't fit her anymore.
Melissa peered into the empty drawers, a wrinkle daring to dig itself into her Botoxed forehead. Surely she didn't give them all away.
Oh, my God.
You have no idea what was going on with your own daughter's life, Gerald thundered.
Shut up! It's not like you had a clue either.
Lucy stepped between the two parents.
What was the fight about?
The one that made her run away.
She wanted an advance on her allowance.
$500. I told her no, but that I'd happily give her the money if she told me what it was for.
She wouldn't.
We exchanged words, and the next morning she was gone.
Is that what she told you?
Lucy asked Gerald.
She wouldn't tell me what the fight was about. I fed her breakfast, took her shopping, but she wasn't interested in anything except those ugly damn shoes. Then I drove her home to her mother's.
Why did Lucy have the sudden feeling that Ashley was the most mature member of the Yeager family? Did she seem depressed, moody, lately?
No,
said Gerald.
Yes, Melissa blanched.
Giving away her clothes, do you think she could be thinking of killing herself?
No, never. She wouldn't do that to me.
She sank onto the bed and began massaging her temples as if she had a headache.
We don't have enough information to decide anything yet, Mrs. Yeager.
Has Ashley's weight changed? Any new friends? Arguments or falling out with old friends?
Both parents looked blank.
Can you give us a list of any of her friends? In particular, any close friends or boyfriends?
I have her class list from school.
She was very popular, but we didn't allow boyfriends.
Lucy didn't comment on the mom's use of the past tense.
I know these questions might be hard, but they're important. Is she taking any prescription medication? Are her periods regular? Any signs of drinking or drug use?
Gerald looked away, shoulders hunched, hands thrust deep into his pockets, marring the perfect lines of his trousers.
Melissa stared at the floor, entranced by the beige rug, shaking her head again, her ponytail whacking the bare skin of her neck like a scourge.
No drugs or medicines. But it's been a while since she had her period. Girls her age are always irregular, though.
That doesn't mean anything.
She looked up. No one would meet her gaze except Lucy.
Does it?
You self-centered bitch!
Gerald's attack was sudden, cutting through the silence in the room.
Why do you think she wore baggy clothing all summer? Why do you think she wanted money? You turned our little girl into a whore, just like her mother, and now she's run off to get an abortion.
How dare you call me a whore? You were the one who couldn't keep his dick in his pants.
Melissa launched to her feet, hands held high, claws aimed at his face.
Walden, bless his heart, sidled to one side, effortlessly catching her around the waist and pivoting her back down onto the bed, where she landed in a flutter of floral chintz. The Pittsburgh guy, Burroughs, came into the room at a run, stopped when he saw things were under control.
Agent Walden, why don't you take Mrs. Yeager back downstairs and document her statement?
Mr. Yeager, if you wouldn't mind finishing yours with Detective Burroughs?
Lucy made little, soothing sounds, guiding the parents out.
We really appreciate your help. Remember, nothing is too insignificant, so take your time.
She shut the door behind them, savoring the quiet.
Christ, the room even smelled sterile. But somewhere in this empty space existed the ghost of a teenaged girl, a girl who was either taken or ran. And if she ran, did she run alone? Or did she have help? The itchy, crawly feeling tingling beneath her skin told Lucy that whatever happened, Ashley hadn't been alone. But she had no proof. Yet.
All right, Ms. Ashley. Come out wherever you are.